Blog Talk Radio.
On October 30th, 1990, a young woman by the name of Cynthia Lorraine Ricketts Richardson was executed and dismembered by her husband, Donald Glenn Richardson. Her body parts were scattered over a 50-mile area in around the Columbia River in the state of Oregon. As if the abuse Cindy suffered at the hands of her husband wasn't enough, the state of Oregon delivered its own brand of injustice to not only Cindy and her family, but to a second family as well. That is, when Donald was released from prison after only a 25-year sentence for his heinous crime against his wife. When Donald was released due to a new law that had been passed by the state legislature, he committed a crime so horrible it should have earned him the death penalty. Sadly, he will be released from prison in 2023. The family has fought for years to keep him in prison even before he was released the first time. This is Cindy's story. This is finally the justice she nor her family ever received at the hands of the criminal justice system in Oregon, from the attorney general down to the psychiatrist who stated that he was not a danger to others. While he was awaiting trial for Cindy's murder, his defense attorney stated in court that it was just a garden variety murder. Now Cindy can rest and her family can find the peace that has eluded them for so many years. Justice for Cindy by Yvonne Mason, available today on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
It is Thursday night, December the 15th. We are 10 days away from the end of the silly season. Thank goodness for small favors. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason. And yes, that was a piece of shameless self-advertising. That is my latest release, Justice for Cindy. And when you read it, you will understand why we called it Justice for Cindy. My guest tonight is author Robbie Cox. This is his second time with me, and he is a regular guest. We have so much fun when he comes and does my show because there's so much that we can talk about. He lives in sunny Florida where he spends his days, and he can usually be found tucked away on his back porch with a cup of coffee while he's working on his latest manuscript. He also has enjoyed a freelance career writing for several magazines, sharing some of his interesting viewpoints on life and those around him. Now, he does enjoy traveling with great friends and their families, but most often he can be found at home grilling out and sharing a laugh with those who matter most to him. Robbie published his first book in 2013, then he realized he was not satisfied with just writing in one genre. So he is now the author of Warrior of the Way series, an urban fantasy that takes place along the Indian River in Florida, and several contemporary romance series, such as the Rutherford series, Fangirls, and the Harper Twins. He has also written a paranormal romance, Come Halloween, as well as a Christmas story, Ribbons and Bows. He is now finishing his Warrior of the Way series, and of course he will be back when those start being released. He has enough works in progress to keep him writing for the next 15 years and all the genres that he writes in. Good evening, my friend. How are you tonight?
Hey, Ms. Yvonne. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I'm not in snow. I'm still able to wear my shorts and my flip-flops. I'm doing great.
And sit out on the porch and talk to me.
And sit out on the porch and talk to you. It's the best thing in the world.
It gets no better than that. I mean, after all, this is paradise, right?
That it is. Like, you cannot complain. I don't have to shovel my sidewalk. I don't have to worry about a jacket. This is the way to spend Christmas.
And even if it gets cold a day or two, it doesn't stay long. It gets cold. It reminds us that old man winter's still out there, and then it just goes away.
That's a great thing about Florida. If you don't like the weather, just wait an hour. It'll be different.
Absolutely. You go from wearing long sleeves to almost naked within an hour's time.
Pretty much. If you get away with it, I'm telling you.
Well, you've already given us your history. We know why you write, how you write, what you write about. But there were some things that we didn't get to cover in our last show, which I think is very important, because we have a lot of new artists out there, musicians as well as authors, who might not understand that it takes everything we have to put a piece of work together, whether it's a piece of artwork, whether it's a piece of music, or whether it's a book. We pour ourselves into that piece of artwork, and when we're done, what usually happens?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. When you're done with that, the real work really begins, to be honest, trying to get it out there. But you're right about pouring everything you have into your writing. If you want your readers or those who are looking at your artwork or those who are listening to your music to be able to feel something, you have to pour those emotions. You have to feel it first and then pour those emotions into your piece of work. But that's really the icing, because that's what we all enjoy doing. It's the after you get your book published that drives almost the rest of us crazy, because that's not our wheelhouse. That's not what we're geared for. We're the creative type, and this is all the heavy lifting. I actually got a series that we're working on for another class called Writing in Three. It's three parts. It's creative, it's business, and it's marketing. It has three different sides to it.
Well done, because most of the indie artists, whether they're musicians or whether they are authors, they don't understand the importance of marketing themselves. Sure, we can all of us can create a piece of artwork. Mm-hmm. But nobody's going to buy that piece of artwork until they know who we are.
Very much so, yes. And I think, as you said right before the show started, you're really an artist, whether it's their painting or their jewelry or their music. Or you're selling yourself. You're selling your personality half the time. And in order for people to even pick up your book when they see you, they want to get to know you. And I did a video series called Book Signing Basics. It's a four-part series. And one of those sessions I talked about this is you want people to come to those signings, those author events, in order to see you, not just to see a bunch of authors. You want them to come to see you and come to your table and to shake your hand and get a picture with you and hopefully buy your book. And you've got to think, how am I going to get these people to really want to come see me? Why would they want to come see me? So you're marketing yourself more than you're marketing your books.
And when you finished your first three books, Circle of Justice, Reaping the Harvest, and Losing Faith, was it easy for you to put yourself out there, or did you find yourself wanting to just stay in your little comfort zone and not have to go out and face the big, bad world?
I am very much a Gemini, whereas there's two sides to me. There's an introvert and an extrovert, but the introvert is very much in charge. I am happier just sitting in my recliner on my back porch, just punching keys on a keyboard and talking to fictional characters and playing with them in my head and on paper. It wasn't until 2015, the beginning, when the girls got tired of me sitting in my recliner and they put their foot in my butt and kicked me out and said, you need to go meet some of these people, that we actually ventured out into author events and book signings and traveling from New Orleans to Biloxi to all over Florida to meet some of these people that have enjoyed my writing and who I've talked to and interacted with on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and all those other sites. And that opened up a whole new world, opened up a bunch of new doors by the time I did that. And it keeps you excited. And like I said about that video series, one of the things I said when you go to these events, if you don't come out feeling like you went to a pep rally, then you did something wrong. Because I always come out energized and pumped up and ready to keep plugging away at that keyboard.
And it's not just from the fan base that comes to see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the people that you've surrounded yourself with at these events, because we all have a common cause, and that is our love for storytelling.
Mm-hmm. We have been so fortunate that I have heard horror stories about events, about a lot of drama and a lot of negativity and abuse and stuff like that. And I've been so blessed. I haven't been part of any of it. Everybody that we have worked with and have been surrounded by have been some amazing people who, like myself, want, if one of us succeeds, we all succeed. If they know something that works, they share it with me. And if I know something that works, I share it with them. And we're always pitching ideas back and forth with marketing and keeping records so the IRS doesn't come after us, and networking and teaching lessons and panels and everything else. For Hurricane Matthew, we actually attended Indie Book Fest in Orlando. So we already had our evacuations planned, because we live on the Barrier Island, so we had to evacuate especially when they thought Matthew was nailing us. So we had this author event going on over there where everybody was trapped. They couldn't go anywhere. And we're all in the 7th floor executive lounge, and it's just one big network fest. Everyone's watching Weather Channel with the news, trying to keep up to date with what's going on with the storm. But everyone's sharing ideas. The swag is being pulled out, and everybody's working on it and talking about it. And it was just fantastic. We met some fantastic people that weekend, and we have at every event. I'll go back to every event I've been to so far.
In fact, we could go back to your very first event, which is where you and I met.
Very first event, a small hometown Authors for Authors, Meet the Authors event. They actually had Tim Dorsey there, if I remember correctly, to speak to us. And I was scared to death. That was my first event. Had no idea what to do or what to expect. Only had the 2 books, Reaping the Harvest and Losing Faith in print. And I know you and Kelly were on one side and Bruce Buckingham was on the other. And we just had a great time.
Yeah, and
I learned
you did
a lot.
Well.
You actually helped me great. Yeah, it wasn't a bad first event. I mean, considering nobody and their uncle knew who in the world I was, I did pretty good. I was happy. And could you learn?
Well, the reason that you did well is, and I'm going to take some credit for this because I'm just that self-assured. When you came in the door and y'all started setting up, I got the feeling that you weren't, I didn't know it was your first event, but I got the feeling that you weren't really sure of the environment. If somebody was going to bite your head off or if somebody was going to, you know, be ugly to you because like you, I've never experienced that because I don't deal in it. Somebody wants to act that way, I don't have time for them. But I wanted you to be at ease and to enjoy it and go away feeling, I can't wait for the next one, because Valerie and Marshall and all the people that put that event on have always been that way. We just embrace each other, and say somebody comes to my table and they're not into my genre, but they're into romance or they're into children's books. Okay, well, that author over there's got some great books, or that author over there can help you out. It's not, well, here, this will work, because that's not what we were there for.
Exactly. And we've been that way at every event. And most of my, only 2 of my books, really, Reaping the Harvest and Lore Master, really fits with our area. Usually these events like Authors for Authors and Meet the Authors, there's a lot of memoir, biography, and religious and poetry and children's books, and my steamy romance doesn't fit in too well. So I get looked at kind of odd sometimes, but we keep going. But same thing, like you said, what do you read? And that's one of the questions we ask everybody when they come to our table. Well, what kind of books do you enjoy reading? Because I can steer you in the right direction. And then we were right beside Kay Williamson this last time in a galley, and she writes those romance murder mysteries. And so I was able to point them to her sitting right beside me when they wanted a mystery type book. You know, so it's, or Wanda on the other side when they wanted a children's book. So it was, it's good when you can help people. And they did the same for me. Kay kept pointing my name out all the time.
And that is the beauty of the indie author environment in general. Now, yeah, just like with anything, there may be one or two who hurt themselves because for whatever reason they don't want to participate. And that's sad for them, because I'm going to tell you, my life, I don't know about you, but my life has been so enriched by you and the girls and the friendships that I've made over these last, how long have I been published? Since 2007.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
nice.
Yes,
almost 10 years, coming up on 10 years.
You're right. God, time flies. Yeah. But anyway, the friendships that I've made, the lasting friendships that I made, and to be mm-hmm. able to do this show, which was a five-year dream, and bring my friends like you on here over and over again so you can promote your work. And like you said, as you're successful, my success rises, because I am only as successful as I help you to become. And that is very important to me. People have been good to me all these years, and I want to be good to up-and-coming authors, musicians, artists, business people, entrepreneurs, people with a dream. And you're very important to me, because when it's like I said, I still see that face when you walk through the door, like deer in the headlights. I'm thinking, oh, God, this poor man. We got to make this man feel at home.
It can be overwhelming your first time out. And you know what? We have it's a pay it forward type thing. And we've done it at every event that we've been to since. Is we've learned so much between what you were able to help us with and what we learned from our next event, Book Obsessed Babes, and have been able to grab people who we saw these authors at these events that it was their first time and they didn't know. So we were able to split up and take them under our wings and help them. Well, do this. This you'll find this will work. Or let's help you with your table, or take lots of pictures and stuff like that. It was a great experience. And then we have people who are you're never the top and you're never the bottom. You're always
right.
In the middle. There's always someone underneath you that you can teach, and there's always somebody on top of you that can teach you. And if you use both of those degrees, then you're going to be good.
Thing. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute
is.
Beautiful thing. And in the process, we get back to that thing of the girls kicking you out of a chance and, okay, now you got to get out there and market yourself. Because as we do that more and more, people know the name Robbie Cox. Oh, yeah, you've got some new books coming out. Oh, yeah, I heard you on that radio show, because I know that mm-hmm. when I put the podcast up that you guys take them and run with them, put them on your Facebook
mm-hmm.
page, you put them on your website page, because like I told you before the show started, this show is now heard all over the world. So y'all
mm-hmm.
are getting it. You're getting exposure that most people would pay thousands and thousands of dollars for, and I do it because I love you guys. Y'all are wonderful.
Go ahead.
No, I was finished. Continue with your thought, my friend.
No, I say all over the world. It's funny that you even say that. This year, actually, we have sold books in countries that we've never had a foothold in before, and just cut Denmark and Italy and New Zealand and Australia and stuff like that. We've sold books all over the world now, and to me it's because of things such as this Off the Chain and everything else where they get, and the internet where they get to see us and stuff.
Exactly, and people that want to hold. I believe that we only gain wisdom when we give our knowledge away.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know something, it's knowledge to me. I know it,
mm-hmm.
but if I don't share it with someone, it never becomes wisdom. It's just the fact that I know, and it doesn't do me good. I know it, I use it, so I can put it on a back shelf. But if I share it with someone, then it becomes wisdom, and it helps that person to grow. Then that person can keep the ball rolling and keep sharing and sharing and sharing. And pretty soon, we've reached around the world twice.
Mm-hmm. Amen, yes. If we look at ourselves as sponges, a sponge can only hold so much. And until the sponge gets wrung out, it can't hold anymore. So we have to constantly wring ourselves out giving everything that we've learned and what we've gained out to others in order for us to get recharged and gain more stuff ourselves.
Very good analogy. I'm going to steal that from you. I love it. Because I've used the expression, he soaks it up like a sponge, but you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It will only, that sponge will only hold so much before it has to expel whatever it's holding, whether it's water or knowledge or whatever, in order to soak up more. That is an excellent analogy. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And a sponge just sits there and soaks up and stays soaking, eventually winds up stinking. So you need to squeeze it out and gain new fresh insight in other places.
That's an excellent analogy. Now I know what's wrong with some of the people I know.
They're just soaking sponges.
Yes, they soaked up too much and hadn't expelled it.
That's funny.
Yeah, we do call it off the chain, don't we?
It works. To any of the new authors that are out there, social media really is your friend. If you stay active on it, you interact and you meet new people. Every event that we have ever gone to, I have people who know us. And I have three ladies that travel with me that make me look good in everything that I do, because they're the ones that actually do all the heavy work. Because of the interactions between the four of us and all the other people, people know us before we even walk through the door, so they can shake our hand and we can hug them, and the friendships are already there. So if you wait until you get to an event to start building those relationships, then you've already lost. You need to start way beforehand. Yeah, way beforehand.
Build those friends. And friendship is a give and take. Sometimes, and it's like with any relationship, sometimes Robbie Cox needs 99% of my friendship,
mm-hmm.
with me getting nothing in return, because sometimes you just need that boost, you just need that uplift, whatever it is, it's up to me to give that to you unconditionally. And then sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes it's 90-10 the other way. But those friendships are solid, solid friendships that last forever, because anytime we lose one of us, there's a hole there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That can't be, because we've lost one of our family.
One of the ways that I found out how much of an impact the deepness that the friendships have, it goes beyond just author events or anything else, was last year, this past May, I celebrated my 50th birthday. I know I only look 21.
Well, happy late
birthday.
But it was
50. Oh, thank you. But we had several authors and event hosts and stuff and bloggers and stuff that showed up to help me celebrate my birthday, who had to actually travel a couple hours or more to get here just to celebrate for one evening. And it surprised me. It really did. And when you have people that will do that for you, and of course you'll do it for them, because we travel to help people out no matter what. And that tells you what the influence that you're having, the impact, the openness. And that's what you need. That goes back to what we said in the beginning about selling yourself, marketing yourself. It's all about relationships. Everything in this world is about relationships.
And don't be afraid to be real. I mean, you can take your mask off, because people know that we have off days. People know that we have sad days and bad days, and it's okay to be real. We don't have to, because y'all have known me long enough. What you see with me is what you get. You know.
That's it. I agree. I'm the same way. I am. You like me or you don't. I'm sorry.
I am who I am.
I make no apology.
No, because it took
I've been
too
through
long
a lot of hard knocks to get who I am, so.
Thank you, and it took me too long to realize I'm okay the way I am. I don't have to be anybody different. I'm comfortable in my skin. You know, if someone...
It took me a long time, to be honest with you, to come to that realization. It really did. It took me 42 years, really. To come to the realization that, you know what, I'm tired of wearing this mask. This is who I am. And if they don't like me, they don't like me. If they do, they do. I'll risk it. And I lost a lot of friends when I finally started
really
being who I was.
They
weren't
really your friends.
They weren't. Because they should accept you no matter what.
Well,
and you know
is,
that they're still wearing masks themselves.
And they don't like who they are. And the what happens when we have to be all things to all people? Say I have to pretend to be Miss Prim and Proper over here with Susie because she's Miss Prim and Proper and she won't like me if I'm not Prim and Proper. But yet over here with Jane, she's kind of wild and crazy, so I can be wild and crazy. What happens is we give so much of the fake us away. There's nothing left.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And all they have to do is read one of my books to know there's nothing prim and proper about me.
And that brings me to my next question. Oh, I love that segue. Two questions. The first question is this. In your blog, you say, there is a difference between writing stories with sex and then writing sex stories. Now, please, for our listening audience, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're prim and proper, you might want to mute this, but go for it. Trust it here. What's the difference?
I asked my followers one time, what's the difference between erotica and porn? And one guy gave me, I thought was a great definition. He said, erotica is what my wife reads. Porn is what I watch on the YouTube. It's a visual term. To me, there are stories out there that are sex driven. The story is the sex. This is what it's about. They just want to get down to the nasty. It doesn't matter about the plot. It doesn't matter about the storyline. Sometimes it doesn't even matter about the characters. It's the act itself that is the story. And there's a market for that. I've seen ladies at some of these events that's what they go for to buy and to read. They love it. And more power to the authors that can promote that. I would find a hard time myself marketing that because, again, I fight that urge about the prim and proper stuff. For me, sex is part of the story. If it is a natural flow and progression of where the story is going or what it is about, then I don't see anything wrong with it, and I can do it easily and read it or write it either way. Like my book, Losing Faith. Losing Faith, the plot was based on a couple who's opening up their marriage to outside adventures sexually. But the story wasn't about the sex. It was about the emotional entanglements that got involved when hearts got involved in what was going on and relationships grew deeper and they were supposed to grow and what then happened to this husband and wife. So while sex was a vital part of the story because it was the underlying factor, the foundation of the story, it wasn't the driving fact. It was the hearts and the minds and the emotions of the people that were being torn apart by what was happening or thrown together because of what was happening that made the story. And Losing Faith is my steamiest book. It's my most erotic novel. The rest are really kind of tame compared to that one. It was funny. We actually had to change the cover for Losing Faith. I don't know if I told you this or not. We actually had to change the cover for Losing Faith because the original cover was a sweet beach scene that we had taken and Terry had put on the cover. And it was a nice little walkway going down to the beach with the waves in the background. It looked really, really nice fit because the story takes place in the Atlantic in Melbourne, right here in my hometown. But like I said, with the Authors for Authors and the Meet the Authors, my genre doesn't fit. There was a lot of people that came to my book and they swore it was a religious book because the word faith in the title. And I said, no, faith's the name of the character. It's not religious. And one little old lady bought the book because she the author was lying about the book. And I said, okay, don't come back to me when you read chapter 3. So we changed the cover. So now the cover is actually of a lady blindfolded eating a chocolate covered strawberry. And if anybody misinterprets that, they need to get out more.
And the thing is, and you know this, book covers sell the book. If a book cover does, just like they thought that it was about a religious faith because the book cover was innocent.
Mm-hmm. And with the title, they thought it was innocent.
Right.
Yeah.
And book covers, I've seen so many raunchy book covers that even if the story sounded interesting, I wouldn't buy the book because the book cover just turned me right off.
I think that's why a lot of people read on ebook now. Nobody knows what they're reading.
They
I think that's actually the main they can read it in church and not get caught.
Nobody
would know. That's on the Kindle. And we have a lot of fun. You're right, though. The covers attract the eye because you have to give them a reason to pick up the book to begin with. And the cover is what's going to do it. And then the blurb on the back has to entice them to open up and look at that first chapter.
That's
so
why
it's
my
a progression.
Book covers are so gory. book covers.
You got some good book covers.
Yeah,
Mad Hatter,
the,
I thought was a good cover, yeah.
I love the Mad Hatter. I love the ad. Oh, if you need some ads done, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing another shameless plug here. If you want some good ads done, some voiceover ads for your books, contact my friend Chris Dunham. He's on my Facebook page, and he does some killer voiceover ads. So his name's Christopher Dunham. Contact him. Anyway.
We'll do it.
We're free to move about the country again.
What was question number two?
The question number two is this. I read this in your blog and just about fell out of my chair. Because, number one, I can see this person asking this question. And number two, I'm surprised that I haven't been asked this question because of a couple of my books. And the question was, how did you feel when you did that? Or did you actually do something like that?
Yeah. You write a book, and all of a sudden people think you've actually done what you've written about, which if they've read all of my erotic books, and they think I'm pretty active, and I haven't done any half of what's in those books. And then to think about murder mysteries, I haven't killed anybody. And my first short story was following the path of a gun that got used in several places. Like, I didn't act this out before I wrote it. I just wrote it. So it's imagination. But people will believe anything. It's fiction. Look at the internet. They'll believe just about anything.
But what is so funny, though, is while when I read that, I was thinking about Gerard Schaefer, because he actually wrote his murders in what he said was a fiction book, and he called it killer fiction, but it was actually confession so that he could relive the crimes over and over. And I'm thinking now,
oh my gosh.
And I'm thinking, okay, Schaefer was asked if he did these things, and he said, oh no, I just have an overactive imagination. But
that's pretty wild.
So when I read this about you, I'm going, oh my Lord, do they think you would be out of jail if he'd really done that?
Yeah, it's funny the way that some people think. It's like, no, it's just a book. I haven't done any of that stuff, but thanks for thinking that I'm capable.
If they only knew
I don't have that much energy.
You're kind of a low-energy kind of person.
I'm telling you. Did you miss the part about me not getting out of my recliner? Come on, people.
What part of you didn't want to leave your house after you finished the first three books?
Since that time, it's funny, getting out of the house, since they finally put their foot in my rear and made me get out of the recliner, we bought a van a couple of years ago, about 2.5 years ago. Since we have had it, we've put 75,000 miles on that van, just going to all of these events and all the different adventures and everything else that we have done traveling. And 80% of that is traveling to meet these readers in other states and other cities and stuff. And to me, that's a big difference from where we were 3 years ago. So that says a lot.
It does say a lot. It says a lot for you. And it says a lot for your growth as a person as well as an author, because like you say, you have two sides to you. And for years and years and years and years, believe it or not, Robbie, I was very shy because I was unsure of myself. And I wouldn't go up and meet people, much less run a radio show. But one day the light bulb went off and I said, screw this. if I don't make it, because my brother, God love my brother, you know, the one that's mentally challenged. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we use the word retarded with him, so just get over it. He is one of the most outgoing human beings I've ever met, and he's the one that taught me it's okay to be who you are, because we're all challenged. Mm. And it's okay to go up and shake somebody's hands and say, hi, my name is so-and-so, how are you? It's okay. If they turn you down, it's not on you, it's on them.
Yeah. And, you know, I've never had, in any of these events, I've never had what I would classify as a bad experience. We've been welcomed. We've been greeted with open arms. We've had, I've had my name screamed out by a couple of girls on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, which the girl said made my head 5 times bigger than it usually is anyway. The thrill that you get, and it really made me dawn on me one day, why in the world do these people want my signature? You know, you're signing books because they're buying your books, and it's humbling. It really
it's very
is,
humbling.
Is humbling to know that they love your work enough that they actually want a note from you. And then I've signed so many things. I've signed baby onesies, pieces of wood, canvas, shirts. I'm still waiting on the body part thing to happen.
but it's really fun.
You're humbled and excited at the same time.
What's really humbling, Robbie, is when you go and you speak to a classroom full of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and you're there for like 4 hours, and nobody moves. I mean, you have them wrapped totally around your finger, and they bump into each other, and they juggle around to get in line so you can do, like you say, you sign book bags, you sign note cards, you sign notebooks, you sign shirts, whatever they have, they want you to sign it. And there is nothing greater than to talk to a bunch of children who will be our future.
I get asked more times, people, how do you get started? I want to write. How do I get started? Or what do I do? And it's fun to sit down and talk to somebody about their dreams, because that's where we all were a few years ago. And it's like, this is what I would do if I was you, and start doing it and just write. You know, don't just talk about wanting to be a writer, write. And never publish your first stuff. Oh my gosh, never publish your first stuff.
What we need to do is, after the first of the year, maybe April or so, let's do a show on creative writing.
Sounds good.
And that will give people pause to think about, I can do this, because you and I both have been in the same place. You wrote articles, you freelanced for a living. I did enough jobs I could write a book about all the jobs I did, but I've always written. And it took 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, 40 years before I was able to get my first book published. And then I wound up doing it myself and never looked back. So it's, if writing is really what someone wants to do, we'll do a show on creative writing, the pitfalls, the disappointments, the success stories, and yes, even the self gratification.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do it. I'm in. I'm on board. Let's do
it. Okay. Well, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. We launched this tonight, so if you're listening, watch for it. Now, let's talk. I know you wrote this book last year at Christmas time, but I want to revisit it because it is the silly season. And let's promote this for a few minutes. Ribbons and Bows.
Ribbons and Bows. There will be a sequel to this next year. It was supposed to be out this year, but Hurricane Matthew messed me up. But Ribbons and Bows is a novella. It's a very it's a one-night read, really. It's a romance, contemporary romance. A lady moved to a new city. She roomed with a couple of gentlemen. One guy is a surfer professor. He's very laid back, relaxed. The other one is a very is a lawyer. He's very strict and dominant in nature. So it's opposite ends of the spectrum, these two guys. And she winds up falling for both of them and wants Santa to give her both for Christmas.
Okay, then. Now, I know you're not going to spoil the ending, but what you did is you went to polar opposites of the spectrum of personalities. And now, she's sort of like the middle weight, let's say, of these two men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She sees good points in both of them, but she also sees bad points in both of them.
Yes. She falls for each of them because of the difference in the personalities and because the nature of one attracts her a lot, even though she's actually starts out in a relationship with one, but the other one has things that entice her that she wants to explore, so she winds up getting herself in a little bit of a bind.
As women are prone to do, and some men that I know as well.
Men and women. One of the reasons I love to write is every book that I've written, from my urban fantasy to my romance to mystery, whatever, it really boils down to being a study in relationships, whether it's relationships between a man and a woman, between a woman and two men, between us parents and their children, or siblings with each other, or man and the environment. It's about a relationship of some kind. And I like to explore a lot of the non-traditional relationships, such as this one here with the one girl wanting the two different guys in nature, and to reveal that, you know, there's something about both of them that could complete this one woman. But it's in two different people. And how does she make that work or justify all of that? It's sort of like what I did with Reaping the Harvest, my urban fantasy book that came out in 2013. The good and the bad are opposite of what people would normally expect. The bad guy is a pastor. The good one is a streetwalker, a hooker. And I flipped everything. So what was good is bad. What was bad was good. And to open up to the people's eyes that not everything is what you think it is or as how you see it normally. Things can be different.
And it's one's perception as mm-hmm. to whether or not it's good, bad, or indifferent. And the beauty of books, and God love my mother, she taught me this, the beauty of books, whether it's educational, whether it's fiction, whether it's nonfiction, no matter the book, if we read that book with an open mind, no matter how difficult, and mm-hmm. trust me, I've read some that I wanted to pitch through the wall, but the beauty of reading is if we read with an open mind and mm-hmm. we don't try to say, well, this is what the author meant or this is what they should have said. If we just read the book with our own mind and our own perception and an open mind, we learn something.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to read outside of your norm, too. Because it opens you up to different things, to different ideas, to different perceptions, as you said. And you learn something about the world that you live in. And to me, that's part of the responsibility of being an artist of any kind, is to make people think and feel. And sometimes that's pushing against what they have been conditioned to think and believe and feel for years.
And sometimes books make you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And to me, some of those are the best kind because they push against your boundaries and get you out of your box and make you think that what you always thought, well, maybe that's not exactly right. Yeah, I mean, we're in a totally different world. I don't know if we talked on this last time or not. It's a totally different environment today than it was when my parents were growing up. This is not 1950, so it opens us up to all different things and everything else and gets us out of those preconceived notions that we've had about life and other people and relationships and everything else to get us to think more, to accept more, to be more open and non-judgmental.
And it also opens us up to, for lack of a better phrase, the dirty little secrets that nobody talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there isn't anything new going on today that didn't go on 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's, like you said, it's just some of it's now out in the open as opposed to being behind closed doors and dark curtains.
Yep, men have been having affairs with women since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Women have been having affairs with men since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Children have been born out of wedlock since the biblical times, but it wasn't discussed. You know, it's one of those things you just sort of whispered in the dark or didn't talk about in polite company because it just wasn't done. Well, why wasn't it done? I mean, come on, we
mm-hmm.
got this issue. Why are we not talking about it? Why are we hiding it? It serves no purpose.
Yeah, and that to me, that's the whole point about the writing. It gets us to talk about these things.
Especially your ribbons and bows, that should be interesting.
It should be fun. The second bow, the book, I think, which will be out next year, we'll actually be putting it up for pre-order in January or February, but it will continue the tale of what happens afterwards.
All right, so that means I bring you back to my show in February, and we talk about your new release, and then we'll in April we'll do the show with the marketing. Now, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Warrior of the Way series. How many more are you coming out with that in that series?
We actually there are two out right now, Reaping the Harvest and Lore Master. The third one, Warrior's Blade, will be out hopefully in April if everything goes okay. There will probably be more of those in the future, but first there will be a spin-off series from that series called The Cauldron Coven, based
Ooh.
Off of Buttercup.
I must read those, because you know I love my witches.
That'll be fun.
Witches
actually come to life and come to be part of the team in Lore Master.
I must. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're into witches and all that good stuff, yeah, you got to read Robbie's books. Trust me, you won't put them down. And then I fuss at him
Thank
because
you.
I'm not getting anything done but reading your books. That's just wrong.
Well, the urban fantasy is fun. The elves and to dig into myth and folklore and pull out some of these creatures that don't get talked about a lot and play with them. It's just fun to explore those worlds and make them, twist them to fit today a little bit, modernize them to a degree.
And again, what you're doing is you're teaching about old-time folklore in a modern era and opening up
mm-hmm.
people's minds. I think you and I live in the greatest era because I was born in the 50s. I was born in 51. And so I was a post-war baby. And it was only when rock and roll and the Beatles and Elvis and all of those people started coming to the forefront, then the 60s happened.
Hmm.
And all of a sudden, there's all of this information. We're just bombarded with information. And I think that you and I are a product of that generation, and we get to put out some of the best work out there. When we're long gone, people are going to say, you know what, this was some of the best work, because we have explored things people never would have thought about exploring years ago.
Agreed. I'll agree with that. There's a lot to explore and open ourselves up to. And I think the danger, you said a whole lot of information. I think the danger for today and today's generation is there's too much false information that's out there that people are grabbing a hold of and running with. And they're so quick to believe everything that they read just because they read it on the internet or because somebody puts a fancy website attached to it or something else. We grew up with the card catalogs. We were used to doing our research and digging through magazines and microfilm and microfiche and all this other stuff that we had to go through in order to get an essay written for school. We're used to doing that type of research. Nowadays, Wikipedia and Google and half the stuff that they find isn't true or accurate, and people can change it, and they don't know how to do the research, I think, and I think it makes them it causes them to hurt in their education and knowledge to a degree.
I found that out when I was doing the first true crime silent screen. My husband worked that case, so I had the facts. I also had the other investigators that worked the crime, so I had the facts at hand. But when I went on the internet and started looking, I would look at my husband and I'd say, this isn't what you told me. He'd say, Vaughn, that didn't happen that way. Because it's like when we would sit in a circle as a child and we'd, you know, whisper into someone's ear and then they'd repeat the story. And by the time it got back around us, it wasn't anything like the correct story at all.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I don't know if your listeners can hear, side note here, I don't know if your listeners can hear the sirens and everything going off in my neighborhood. We are not under attack. That's actually Santa Claus coming up and down the street on a fire truck.
I figured that was Santa Claus. He finally showed up.
He has finally showed up. He's being escorted by a couple of officers. They're playing loud music and beating that horn like crazy. So we're not burning down the house. It's just a small city and a lot of fun that they do. So it'll get loud here in a minute.
No, but, ladies and gentlemen, he's not getting ready to write his next story.
No, not over this. Although I hear
real
firemen
quick.
Could be a hot commodity. So.
Oh, yes, it could be. Oh, the women would go crazy. Real quick, let's talk about there's going to be an event in June up in Cocoa at my favorite
Space
hotel.
Space Coast Book Lovers. Yes.
Love that
Space Coast
hotel.
Book
Been
Lovers.
To that hotel. Love it.
They've actually done some great renovations recently, doing some awesome things to it. International Palms Resort.
Yes.
And Terry was there, I think, about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And they've done a lot of great things for it and remodeling and building it up again. So it's even better than it was. And it was great before. It's a great Key West vibe to it and relaxation right on the beach. Matter of fact, some of the rooms look directly out on the beach. I'm looking forward to that part. But Space Coast Book Lovers, we got about 70 authors, I believe, that are going to be involved, already signed up and committed. Some guest speakers. It's going to be a day of workshops from the business side of writing. So for copyright and taxes and stuff like that, this is a great time to get brushed up on some of that stuff, as well as the creative side. There'll be readers and bloggers there. To help authors promote their work or to work with them and how they could get to move into the next phase or something with marketing. There's going to be cover models there and photographers to help with book covers and drum up there. It's just going to be full event, a 4-day event, and it's going to be something I think Space Coast hasn't seen in a while.
Well, you and I were talking before the show, and if I am still able to come, and with all of y'all's permission, since it's your event, I would like to set up a live remote.
Well, that'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. That would be fun.
I've got all the equipment. We just have to set it up and run with it. But we'd set up a live remote and take turns having guests on there and take turns having host on there. And it would just be lots and lots of fun. So if I'm, like I said, my husband is getting worse, so
yeah.
If for whatever reason I'm not able to come, if y'all've got, and I'll let you know in plenty enough time that I'm going to donate that slot if I'm not able to come to an author, because ladies and gentlemen, it can get expensive when you go to these events, because you pay for your hotel, you pay for your room, you pay for the event itself, your food,
and everything else.
Yeah, and these indie authors, we don't make millions of dollars every year in book sales. We just don't, because, number one, we're not sponsored by the Big Six. We don't get millions of dollars in advance for our manuscript. It's all on us. We do all of our
We don't get any advance.
No, we don't. We do get gig royalties some months.
We're in the hole before the book comes out.
Yes, we are. But you know, but we do it because we love it. We uh-huh. If we didn't write, we would probably go insane and kill each other and ourselves.
Oh, I agree.
But
I agree wholeheartedly.
You all that can go to this event, and I'll have Robbie on again, and we're going to give the dates and everything. Go to this event. Support these authors because they write because they have to. It's a passion, right, Robbie? We can't do without it.
No, it is. The characters will drive us crazy if we don't get their stories down. I'd be writing whether I did this or not because I did beforehand as far as fictional. So it's just a matter of those with a passion don't give up and they keep going.
And that's so. The same with any dream. If you've got a – ladies and gentlemen, if you have a dream, and Robbie and I have talked about that both the other time and tonight, we'll continue to talk about it. If you've got a dream, don't let anything stand in your way.
Mm-hmm. And don't wait. There's no better time to do it than now. I wasted 40 years coming up with excuses as to why I couldn't put the fiction books out there or why I couldn't continue writing or I was too busy or I had this or it was my time. Just do it. Even if you write 100 words a day, that's 100 words more than you did the day before. And there's great people out there that'll help you get started and get you going. You just got to open the door and let them in.
Yeah, because we believe that knowledge is power and power is wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Awesome. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, Ellen O'Neill will be on my show. She is a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, a radio host herself, and she is one smart cookie. So y'all want to join us at 8 o'clock tomorrow night for her. On Saturday night, I have another author. Her name is Miranda Shakelin. She is a brand new author, and we will be talking to her. She's got several books out. She will be on at 8 o'clock. Now, next Wednesday, and Robbie, you've got to tune in for this one because this was a coup,
okay.
An absolute coup. You know Rambo, right? Rambo for
okay.
Blood. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The author, David Morrell, who wrote that series, is going to be on my show next Wednesday night.
Awesome.
Yes. That was a coup. Now, this is a guy that's published by the Big Six, ladies and gentlemen. But he's also written a new series that's set in England in 1855, 1856. And his main character is called the heroin eater or something like that. But anyway, this guy really lived. Quincy, it's his name. And you've got to tune in. Those three books are marvelous. On Thursday night, Floyd Potts and I will once again solve the world's problems and debate issues and still be friends at the end of the show. We are teaching people how one can have a debate and discourse and agree to disagree and still love each other at the end of the day. So those are all at 8 o'clock. Yeah, having a show with him is like having a show with you. It's a hoot and a half.
It's always fun to be here.
Well, you're a regular now, so just I don't care wherever you are. You're on the show at 8 o'clock.
Anytime. I'd love to be here.
Thank you, my dear friend. Let me know when that book's going to be launched in February because we're going to launch it on this show.
Okay.
And
definitely.
Then I will set up a date for the April writing thing and launch whatever. And if you have to come on once a month to launch a new book, then we're going to do that because you are now a regular on my show.
That sounds good. We'll do it. I'll be here.
Okay. See, ladies and gentlemen, how easy this is. This is a dream come true for me. It's a 5-year dream. It goes along with my dream of bounty hunting, which I did, my dream of publishing, which I've done. And when I want to do something, I plan it, and then I do it. Because at the end of our day, and Robbie, this is true, is it not? At the end of the day, when we're laying there drawing our last breath, we will not have any regrets, correct?
Not at all. I am who I am, and I love every minute of it. Man, I've got a great life. I say it all the time. I love my life.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Ellen O'Neill. And as I say at the end of every show, love yourself, like yourself, live life, live your dream. Off the Chain, this is Yvonne Mason, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Bobby, hang with us a second.
All right.
And the fire engine went by just at the end of the show again. I love it.
They did. They're right in front of my house right now. It got loud.
Thank you, my dear. This show's going to go into archives. When it does, I'm going to put the link up. I'll tag you in it. And then I'll put the other podcast up and put them on the page and tag you in that too. Put it on your webpage. And go now and enjoy the firemen and the police. It's your home.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. I had a great time, as always. Thank you very much.
All right, and let me know so we can launch your book in February.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right, sweetheart. Good night.
Well, good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.